Masechet Sota Daf He. We have a long series of agadot about arrogance. Azhara legaseh haruach minayin. Where can we find a warning of a prohibition against being haughty? Amar Rava, Amar Zairi, Shimu vehazinu al tigbahu. From this pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, hear and give ear, be not proud, because Hashem has spoken. So that's pretty explicit. Al tigbahu. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar mehacha, veram lebabecha beshachachta, uchtiv yishamer lecha, pen tishkach et Hashem elokecha. Two pesukim in Devarim chapter 8 that say, if you are high and mighty, then be careful, because then you will come to forget Hashem. Someone who's humble in spirit and who needs something, so he's going to call out and pray and feel gratitude. Whereas someone who thinks so highly of himself, he says, oh, I don't need anybody else, and therefore forgets his creator. And similarly, also in Devarim, it says, be careful lest you forget Hashem Elo Hashem, who did all good things for you. So there you go. That's another explicit. It's not just advice. It's not just, try. It's an actual language of a prohibition. Uchte Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi El'a. Damar Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi El'a. Kol makom shenemar hishamer. Pen ve'al eno ela belo ta'aseh. And this fulfills the various words that Rabbi Abin said. Whenever you find in the Torah that it says the words pen, less, don't do that, don't do this, because it may, and here you have the word pen, or al, don't, or hishamer, be careful. So these are all words that tell you this is an official law. It's a law ta'aseh. You're not allowed to be arrogant. Right? This is not just a musar shmuz. It's an actual prohibition. Darash Rav Avira, Zimnin Amara La Mishemed Rav Asi, Zimnin Amara Mishemed Rav Ame. Kol Adam Shiyash Bo Gasut HaRuach Lesof Mitma'et Shenemar, Romu Me'at, Veshema Tomar Yeshna Ba'olam, Tamud Omar Ve'enenu. So this is a Darash Rav Avira would say, sometimes in the name of Rav Ase, sometimes in the name of Rav Ame. Anyone who has haughtiness of spirit in the end will be brought down low. As it says in the Pasuk, here's the Pasuk in context, Romu Me'at Ve'enenu. Someone might be exalted for a while, but eventually, but you see, come back soon, and they're gone. Any kind of power self-worth that a person has that's exaggerated is appears for only for a short time. And v'humechu kachol yiksafun, those people who are haughty will be brought low and shrivel up kachol, like all do. Uchiroshi bolet yimalu, and they'll wither like heads of grain. Right? Everybody, what comes up must go down. Everybody has the same ending. You can't take your power and your money with you. And so, therefore, those things are not important. So here we see, Romu Me'at. So if someone is high, it's only going to be for a short time. And maybe you say, all right, maybe they'll be high for a short time, but when they're brought low, they'll still be around. They'll still have something. No. And then, no, they're going to be gone totally. So someone who is haughty will end up falling so far that they will wither away. They will be gone. Vim chozer bo nesa bizmano, ki Abraham Abinu shenemar v'mechu kachol yikafesun. Whereas if a person is haughty, but he makes teshuvah, he recognizes it and he humbles himself, then that person will not die before his time and be gone, but rather will be gathered in his right time, right after a nice long old age, like Avraham Avinu, because the same pasuk that we just read says he will be gathered like all. So what does it mean, like all? Like Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, regarding whom it says, Bakol. It says, Avrashem Berach et Avraham, Bakol, with everything. The word Mikol is said regarding Yitzhak. The word Kol is said regarding a blessing to Yaakov. This is very important. This is what we say in Birkat HaMazon. Hashem should bless us. Bakol, mikol, kol. What does that mean? It sounds like nonsense. What do you mean? Within everything, from everything, everything. So this is a reference to this exact Agadah that we're like Hashem, like you blessed. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Bakol, mikol, kol. Each one of them had one of those words. And so kol means they had a full life. They had children. They were satiated in their days. They had success. So that's the greatest blessing if someone makes teshubah. Ve'im lav uchrosh shibolet yimalu. But if not, if a person does not repent, then they will wither like the tops of husks. Here is a stalk of wheat, and the tops, we're going to talk about what that means in a second. Right, here is the husks, and here's these tops that stick out. My kirosh shibolet. What does that mean? That they're going to wither like the top of a husk. Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. Echad amar kisasa deshibalta. Echad amar kishibolet asma. One opinion says that this is like the on, right? That's those top green things. And others say like the husks themselves. I understand the one who says the on, those growths on top. That's why it says the head of the shibolet. So that's because it's all the way on top. But if you say it's talking about the husks themselves, why would that be called the head of the husks? For example, someone comes to a field and he's going to be harvesting the field. What does he start with? The stalks that grow the tallest, that's what he cuts first. The point is, the taller someone is, the sooner they will be cut down, right? The higher they are, the faster they fall. And now another pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Hashem says, I dwell in a holy and high place, and also Hashem dwells within him, with him that who is contrite and of humble spirit. Ruach Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. Chad amar iti daka, v'chad amar ani et daka. So it says here ve'et daka. The et is just a particle that is introducing an object, the object of a verb. But the rabbis here in the derasha is actually very close to the peshat. You don't hardly even need the derasha. It says Hashem is going to dwell with, even though Hashem is high up, he's going to dwell with those who are daka, who are crushed down and lowly of spirit. But the question is, if Hashem is dwelling with them, which way does it go? One opinion says, iti daka. Hashem takes the daka who's low down and brings him up to where Hashem is up in, you know, up in heaven. Not literally, right? But Hashem is exalted, and so he will raise up the poor and the humble to be exalted. Whereas another opinion says, no, ani et dakeh. Hashem says, I will humble myself down and be all the way down there to be like the person who is contrite, right? Hashem will humble himself. Right, so like, you know, if a king comes to cheer someone up, does he invite the other person to come sit on a big throne, right, with him? So now you're cheered up, you're sitting next to me on the big throne, big table. That's one way to do it. Or if the king comes and the person is sitting, he's mourning, and the king sits on the floor and humbles with the person, that also will make the person feel that someone cares for him, feel better. It makes more sense to say the second opinion, that Hashem is the one that comes down to the level of a humble person. As we say, because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left for all the other mountains and hills and only brought his Shekhinah down on Har Sinai, and he didn't bring Har Sinai up to heaven, right? Right, it says Vayered. God came down to the mountain. Amar Rav Yosef, Olam Yilmad Adam Midat Kono. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hiniach Kol Arim Ugvot Vishra Shechinato Al Har Sinai Veniach Kol Ilanot Tovot Vishra Shechinato Basene. And not only did God come down to a mountain, not bring a mountain up to himself, but which mountain did he choose? Rav Yosef teaches a person should always learn from the understanding of his creator, the decision of his creator. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he disregarded all the other mountains and hills. And he had his Shekhinah come down on Har Sinai, a low mountain, the lowest of the mountains. And even though there's many big, tall cedar trees, palm trees, how he left all of those and he came down to a small, humble bush, right? To show that Hashem is even more, right, than anything high and haughty. Hashem's presence is felt the most in that which is humble. And that was all a lesson that someone who is high and mighty, he thinks he's going to be closer to God, he thinks he can be like a God. It's the opposite. Hashem is not with the high and mighty, not the trees, not the mountains, and not the people, but rather with he who is low and contrite in spirit. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach ra'ui legadeo kasher ha'ketiv ha'chav v'ramek ha'koma geduim v'chtiv ha'tam basher ehem tegadeon. Rabbi Elazar says, anyone who has arrogance within him, it's worthy to cut that person down like an asherah tree. Why? It says the same words. Those who are high up of stature, Gidu'im shall be hewn down, Pasuk in Yeshaya, and it says the same word, Gidu'im to Gadeon, regarding Asherah trees. You got to cut them down. So this arrogance is a form of idolatry. We saw that equation yesterday, kind of self-worship. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach en afaro ninar, shenemar akisu v'ranenu shochene afar, shochene be'afar lo nemar ela shochene afar, mi shenasa naase shachen le'afar bechayav. Anyone who has is arrogant, that person's dust, their remains after they die, ninad en afaro ninad, will not stir during the time of tichat emetim. They're not coming back. As it says, Pasuk in Yeshaya, awake and sing for joy, those who dwell in dust. The simple reading is, those who dwell in dust, meaning those who are dead and buried and turned to dust, they will awake and sing for joy at the future redemption. But it doesn't say, Shochene be'afad, those who dwell in dust, but rather, simply Shochene afad, this refers to those who dwell in the dust during their lifetimes, when they don't make themselves so important. They say, "Who? What am I but dust and ashes? I don't feel anything coming to me. I'm not self-entitled." So if a person is humble, like dust now in this world, then they have a right and merit to awake and sing for joy. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach, shechina miyaledet adav shenemar, vegaboa mimerchak yiyeda. Any person who has arrogance, the Shekhinah wails over him. As it says, gavo the haughty mimerchak, from afar, God pains for him, wails over him, right? Woe to that person. Who does he think he is? Darash Rav Avi Ravi Tema Rabbi Elazar. Bore, shelok midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam. Midat basar v'dam gavoa, ro'e et ha-gavoa, ve'en gavoa ro'e et ha-shafal. Ava midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu eno ken, hu gavoa ve'ro'e et ha-shafal. Shnemar, kiram Hashem ve'shafal yir'eh. So Rav Avira gave a darasha. And you imagine, these probably were in fact, well, the word darasha has two meanings. Either that he's explaining a pasuk, or he's teaching in public. In this case, it's probably both. He says, come and look at the way of Hashem as it contrasts, how it contrasts with the way of flesh and blood. In the way of flesh and blood, someone who is elevated can only see that which is elevated. Maybe literally, if you're high up, you can see things that are high up, or in terms of stature, usually someone who is very powerful or very rich, they only socialize with people who are also of that higher stature, and they don't take notice of people who are in the lower class. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so. Even though Hashem, there's no being more exalted than Hashem. But even so, and precisely what makes him so exalted and so great is that he sees those who are low down. And so the greater a person is, really the more they should emulate their creator and take care to know and care for those who are beneath them.
Amar Rav Chisda, v'yitem amor ukva, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, en ani vehu yecholin nadur ba'olam, shenemar, meloshni baseter re'ehu oto asmit geba einayim borchav levav oto lo uchal. So Rav Chisda said, any person who has arrogance, God says, he and I cannot live in the same world, right? There's not room for two of us. He takes up so much space, thinks he's the center of the universe, so it's me or him. Well, you know who's going to win in that case. As it says in Tehillim, he who slanders his neighbor in secret, by Baseter, that person, Hashem says, I will destroy. Someone who is haughty of his eyes, he's always kind of looking from up to down, condescending over people, and proud of heart, God says, I cannot bear him. Now, what does that mean? Al tikre oto ela ito lo uchal. Don't read it oto, that I cannot bear him, but rather, with him, I cannot be, right? There's no room for both of us. Some apply that ending also to the beginning of the pasuk. Not only someone who is haughty, but also someone who slanders his neighbor in secret. That also, and they go together. Someone who thinks he's so great, he thinks, he puts other people down. In fact, the reason he thinks he's so great is because he has to put other people down to make himself great, because he actually probably is not so great. Namadbi Alexandri, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach, afilu ruach kim'ah, o charto, shenemar, v'hadesha'im kayam nigadash. A person who has arrogance, even a slight wind disturbs him. This is true. Someone who has self-confidence is humble, right, and knows his self-worth, and is confident in himself, doesn't need other people to praise him, and it doesn't need to put down other people in order to raise himself up. And so, right, the more arrogant a person is, the more even a small thing is going to bother him, like Haman, right? He's second in charge, everybody's bad. One person doesn't bow down to him, he can't take it, because, right, really, arrogant people are usually actually quite sensitive and can't take a joke, and become easily insulted. So we learn this because Pasuk in Yeshaya says the wicked are like the troubled sea. In what ways like that are they like that? Mayam sheyesh bo kama revi'iyot ruach kima ocharto, adam she'en bo ela revi'it achat al achat kama vechama. Right, so look at the entire sea. How many revi'its of water are in the sea? Millions, and yet a little wind comes and makes ripples in the sea and can push it, right? A little wind can even push a giant ocean, all the more so a human being who has only one rivi'it of blood. So a little wind will come and destroy it. We actually have more than the rivi'it of blood, and that's obvious, so everybody knew that. Could be talking about the minimum amount of blood that an infant has. Or another interesting interpretation is that the heart pumps every time it beats. It pumps about a rivi'it of blood. So a rivi'it is the life force. That's how much blood you need to constantly be pumping to stay alive. And so a person who has much less liquid than the ocean, if the ocean can disturb if a wind can disturb the whole ocean, certainly it disturbs a human being, and the more arrogant they are, the more it disturbs them. Amar Rav Chiya bar Asher, Amar Rav, Talmid HaChacham, Sarich Sheyeh Bo Echad Mishemone Bashemineit. Amar Rav Huna Bereh Derav Yoshua Umeatera Le Kisasa Le Shibolta. So Rav Chiya, in the name of Rav, says that a Talmid HaChacham, a Torah sage, must have a little bit of arrogance. Not a lot, just an eighth of an eighth, 1/64th of arrogance. Why? Isn't arrogance bad? Yeah, but to protect the honor of the Torah, right? If someone's insulting or making fun of Talmid Chacham, and then he doesn't answer back, doesn't do anything, well, yeah, that's a positive trait in one sense. On the other hand, because he represents Torah, so he should have a little bit
of arrogance. Okay, I know some people who are very machmir on this. Just kidding. Okay, and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, supports the previous statement and says that little bit of arrogance or honor that a sage has is like a crown, crowns him like the on of the husks, the one that we referred to just a few minutes ago, that we said that on will be cut down was negative. But for a Torah scholar, this little bit of arrogance can be a crown. Rava is more ambivalent about this, and he says someone who has such arrogance deserves excommunication, and someone who doesn't have it also is going to get excommunication. In other words, there's no two ways about it, right? The balance has to be so perfect that, you know, if someone is too unassuming, self-deprecating, that's not a good extreme. But if someone has even the slightest amount of too much self-importance or arrogance, that also leads to disaster. But to have a tiniest bit, right, 1/64th is like the tiniest bit that you can even count, has some positive value according to these three statements. On the other hand, we have an opposing opinion. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Lamina vela miksata mizutar dichtiv be toavat Hashem kol geva lev. He says, no, a Torah scholar should not have not it and not any part of it. Zero parts of arrogance, right? Is it a small matter that the Pasuk says everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination? If something is an abomination, then you don't want any of it, right? Stealing is abomination. You don't steal just a little bit. Avodah is abomination. You don't have it just a little bit, right? He says absolutely zero. Amar Chizkiya, En tefilato shel adam nishmat, elam ken mesim libo kebasar shenemar, v'yamideh chodesh bechodesho v'chule yavo kol basar lishtachavot. A person's prayers are not heard unless a person makes his heart like flesh and blood. In other words, not haughty of spirit, but rather remembers that all we are is just made out of flesh and bones. As the Pasuk says, when it came on the new moon from one Shabbat to another, all flesh will come, Yeshaya says, in the future and worship before Hashem. But it calls the people that come to worship, doesn't just call them people, it calls them kol basad, that the proper way to approach Hashem in prayer is remembering we are mere flesh. Amar Rabbi Zera, Basar ketibe venirpa, Adam lo ketibe venirpa. Concerning flesh, it says in the Pasuk, this is regarding skin diseases, boils. Let's look at the Pasuk inside a second, right? When it talks about nega sarat ki ye be Adam v'ubal ha-kohen, when it talks about some kind of affliction that comes to an Adam, then he has to bring it to a Kohen to check it out. It doesn't say the word that he will be healed. Whereas in a few Pesukim later, it says, Ubasar ki ye bo be'oro shechin v'nirpa. Regarding basar, and it has some kind of disease discoloring, so then there it says healed, it will heal. So the point is, if a person approaches Hashem as an Adam, saying, oh, look how important I am, right, then they will not get healing. Whereas if a person comes in prayer as basar, I am mere flesh and bones, right, I am not important, then he will be deserving of healing. All right, very nice derasha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Adam efer dam mara basar busha serucha rima ikadam resheo dichtib beshin. Okay, here according to Rabbi Yochanan, both the word Adam and the word basar both imply the humility of a person, the lowly aspects of him. And so Adam is rashe tevot, efer, dust, dam, blood, mara, bile. That's the different, bile was the different hormones and liquids that are in a person that make them, that a person needs the right balance of them to be healthy. All right, that's all we are, flesh and blood, and some liquids and dust. Okay, basar is rashe tevot, busha, sirucha, rima, shame, putrid, worm, right? We are shame in our life. We turn into worms. after we go, right? So who is anybody to be so self-absorbed and think they're so great? Or others say that the sheen here that makes it as like a samech, because it sounds the same, basad and samech. But others say no, leave it as a sheen and read the sin as a sheen instead. Keep the shape of the letter, and that stands for Sheol, right? Well, a person is just embarrassment, and they go to Sheol, right? Who should be arrogant? Amar Rav Asher, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach lesof nivhat. Anyone who has arrogance will be diminished. Sheneemar velaset velasapachat en seet ela lishon gavoa. Because regarding in the section regarding sarat, so the Torah uses two words for some kind of a disease, either set, a sore, or a scab. But we're reading this now figuratively, that set is not referring to a sore, a discoloration, but rather se'et from the language of being too high. Anyone who thinks of themselves too highly will be brought down by having this disease, right? And now let's see, when you're all itchy and you can't be seen in public and shamed, let's see how haughty you are. Sheneemad v'al kol ha'arim adamim v'al kol geba'ot ha'nisa'ot. Right here in Yeshaya, which says the word nisa'ot is referring to something high up, like mountains and hills. Ve'en sapachat ela tefila sheneemad sefacheni na elahat ha'kehunot v'le'echol pat lachem. And the word sapachat also is referring to those who are in need and are only secondary. Right? Sapachat means an appendage, something that is dependent on something else. As it says, this is the curse given to the sons of Eli. Now Eli and the sons are the Kohanim Gedolim. They're in charge of everything. But they're going to be brought low. They're going to be kicked out to the extent that in the future, the descendants of Eli are going to go to the future Kohen Gadol, not them, and say, please, can you make me an appendage to one of the families of the Kohanim so that I can eat some of the holy bread? They're going to be so kicked out that they're going to just beg to be even be a secondary part. That's precisely because those sons of Eli, they were thinking of themselves as so haughty, everything's coming to them, abusing people. And so they will be brought low. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Bore kama gedulim nemuchei haruach, Levna kadosh baruch hu shebesha'a, Shebet ha-mikdash kayam, Adam makriv ola sechar ola biyado, Mincha sechar mincha biyado, Aval mi shedato shefala, Ma'ale alav ha-katuv kilu ikrib kol ha-korbanot kulam, Shenemar, Zibche Elohim, Ruach nishbara. ולא עוד אלא שאין תפילתו נמאסר שנאמר לב נשבר ונדכה אלוהים לא תבזה. Come see, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi teaches, how great those who are lowly in spirit appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so what's the benefit of being humble? Well, you see, when there was a Bet HaMikdash, a person could bring an olah, and he would have the merit that he brought an olah. If he brought a meal offering, so he has a merit that he brought a meal offering. However, someone who is lowly of spirit and humble, the Torah, the scripture, considers it as if he sacrificed every single type of korban, as it says, zibche in plural, all the sacrifices that we give to Hashem, you know what that's equal to? A ruach nishpada, a broken spirit. And that's something that you don't need a Bet HaMikdash for. You can have a broken spirit anytime, anywhere. You can come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in humility and dependence and gratitude. And that is equivalent to every korban all put together. And not only that, a person's tefillah, when they pray in such a way, will not be rejected because the continuation of the pasuk says, a broken and contrite heart, Hashem will never despise, will never ignore. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol Hashem orchotav al mazeh zochev Rabbi Shuato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenemar ve sam derech erenu b'yesh Elohim al tikre ve sam ela ve sham derech. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi also teaches, right? He was also taught the previous one. Anyone who estimates or appraises His ways in this world, right? He thinks about all his ways. Were this good? Should I do more of this? Should I do less of that? If a person is so careful with his deeds, then he will merit to see the salvation that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk now is actually with a scene, right? To him that orders his way aright, he places a good road. Hashem will show that person salvation, right? If you prepare your directions, then you know you're going to get to your destination. And the Midrash says, don't read it Sam, but rather Sham, meaning to appraise, one who appraises his ways, judges everything he does, will merit the redemption. So we end the series of Agadot on a happy note, right? Although there's a lot of fearful passages and warnings about the dangers of haughtiness being like Avodah Zarah, the fundamental cause of misdeeds. But there is hope for one who is contrite and can make teshuvah. All right, really very beautiful and very important series of Agadot. And now we go back to the halacha. Kesad mekaneh lad mishnah est. How do you do the warning, right? Exactly what do you say? And so the Mishnah gave an example, but the example that it brought was self-contradictory, as we saw. Hagufa kashya, amar la bifne shenayim, al tedabiri im ish peloni zeh, al madibor sitirahu. So when it said kesad, what's an example? And it said, if a husband tells his wife, do not speak to Mr. Cohen. So it sounds like the warning is supposed to be about speaking, and that would there consequently in parallel, if she does go ahead and she speaks to him, right? They have a conversation, and someone sees them, witnesses. I saw he had a conversation. So the warning and the sitira means speaking. So it sounds like having a conversation is the problem. But then the very next line says, if she went after that warning and she had a conversation with that guy, nevertheless, she's permitted to be with her husband. She's permitted to eat teruma if he's a Kohen and she is not. It's meaning they're still fully married, nothing wrong, which means that speaking is not the problem. And therefore, the warning and the sitira is not about speaking, but rather about being physically secluded in one room together. And so the warning and seclusion have to be that. But the Mishnah is not very clear because it gives an example of warning about speaking. So we think the whole problem of warning and seclusion is about speaking, but then it follows up and said, if she only speaks to him, that's okay. So is speaking what we're talking about, or physical seclusion? Abaye says, you have to fill in the Mishnah. It's just giving you like a couple of examples, but you have to fill in all the cases. If the warning was, don't speak to him, that's not a sufficient warning, right? Sometimes in the Mishnah, it says kesad, and then it gives an example of what's not a negative example, right? What's not the case. So if the warning is only don't speak and she speaks to him, or the husband says don't speak to him and she's secluded with him, even though seclusion is the main thing, but that warning doesn't count. The warning has to be don't be secluded with him. So if the husband says al tisateri v'dibera imo, adain moted betamoted lecho bitruma. If he gave a proper warning, that's the second case of the Mishnah, right? Assuming she had a proper warning. She had a proper warning, don't seclude. But she didn't seclude herself, she just spoke to him. Then also, that's not called setira. She's still permitted. Nichnesa imo lebeta sete v'shaita kideh tumah, v'asura lebeta, v'asura lechol bitruma. However, if she is, if she's warned, don't be secluded with him, and she goes, and she is secluded with him, the amount of time that it would take for them to do an act of sin, then and only then is she prohibited to her home, meaning to her husband, and she cannot eat teruma if she is a Bat Yisrael married to a Kohen. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.